Hi everyone, and welcome to the Product Marketing Insider podcast. My name is Lawrence Chapman, and I'm a copywriter here at BMA. This episode is brought to you in collaboration with Hotjar. Hotjar lets you see how people truly experience your site or product and gives your users a voice. Let real users show and tell you which changes your team need to make to improve user experience. Eliminate the guesswork and use Hotjar to understand how users experience and interact with your product so you can see the changes that need to be made the most. Try Hotjar for free today at www.hotjar.com/alliance. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Abdul Rastigar. Abdul's a product marketing and go-to-market leader and has been named as a top 50 product marketing mentor. Thanks so much for joining me, Abdul.
Lawrence, thanks for having me.
Oh, no, it's not a problem at all. Thanks for taking the time out to talk to us. So just to get started, can you just tell us what made you want to become a product marketer in the first place?
Yeah, I kind of evolved into it. I didn't really know what it was. And when I first got into it, it wasn't that common. Actually, it's grown a lot since then. It was a bit of a suggestion from somebody, right? I was a marketing manager and they said, you know what, you think differently. You might actually make a good product marketer. And I thought to myself, what on earth is a product marketer, right? What do those guys do? And as I started to learn more about it, what really appealed to me was the idea of putting the customer at the center of everything, right? And the product marketer is probably the most strategic marketing position out there. So for me, it just started to appeal to me just very naturally between the focus on the customer, the strategic thinking, the long-term kind of directional views that product marketing has. So that really, it just kind of became a natural area for me to play in. And I've stuck with it for years now. I really enjoy it.
Oh, awesome. And obviously, you know, the more experience you've gained, you know, you've moved into go-to-market or you've forged almost like a specialism in go-to-market, so much so that you've recently published, you know, your brand new book, Up Your Game, so which is now available on Amazon. So congratulations. If you could tell us a little bit more about it, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, thank you for that. I'm super excited about that book. It's actually meant for more than just product marketers. It's marketing in general. And the way I started it was like last spring, everybody was losing their jobs, right? COVID was hitting the global economy. And I was thinking to myself, what can I do to just help people? And I thought, yeah, I can't save everybody's job, but I do know something about marketing. And I know a handful of marketing leaders, CMOs. Maybe if I do these four or five interviews, put them up on YouTube or whatever, LinkedIn, so that people can watch them and say, hey, maybe this will help them get their next job, right? This will help them do better on their next interview. So I started with those. You know, each video was about 5 minutes long, maybe less. And it took off. I mean, the reaction from it, from the audience was just incredible. So I kept going and now I'm like 90 something episodes into it. And people continue to just enjoy them and say they get a lot of value out of it. So eventually the book is a summary of a lot of what I've learned, plus kind of my own product marketing thinking into it, right? Putting it into it. And it's really meant to help people prepare for the job interviews. Because frankly, I do a lot of interviewing and I've seen a lot of candidates who really stumble. They don't do all that great in the interviews. So that was the genesis of it. And it's something that it's just so fun. I've always wanted to write a book anyway. So
yeah, it's quite interesting. You say that there are candidates who just don't interview well. You know, have you found that there are almost like a pool of really good prospective product marketers who could be like really good, but they just don't necessarily transfer well into the interviewing process? Why do you think that's the case?
You know, the why I haven't figured out yet. I'm debating that with a lot of people, discussing that with a lot of people, because it's fairly common that you get people who are pretty good marketers. And when it comes to the interview, they forget everything marketing. Right? They forget all of the principles. They forget all the marketing, product marketing that they do, all of the value proposition, the messaging, all of that just goes out the window and they go in there and they just talk for hours at the interviewer rather than having a conversation. And I think they're so concerned about trying to sell themselves that they forget how to do it. So that was actually another big driver behind the book is, right, teach people to kind of reposition how you approach that interview and talk less about yourself, but more about your achievements and how you help the company or your customers, right? Make the customer the hero. So I don't have a good answer as to why it happens, but it happens extremely frequently. I mean, probably 80, 90% of the candidates just go down this wrong track. And these are people who have 5, 10 years of work experience. So you would think that, you know, it wouldn't be the case, but Frankly, it is. And I got a lot of this validation. Actually, this was one of the things I realized early on as I was doing all of these interview videos myself with all these CMOs and marketing leaders. And everybody was complaining about the same thing. Everybody was saying, hey, I've got all of these candidates that come in and they just ramble and they're not very good candidates. And from their work history, they should know how to do this, but they can't articulate it. So that's you know, a lot of why behind the book and the how.
Yeah. Oh, well, either way, I'm sure it's going to be a great success. And like you say, you know, at the minute, it is something that is prevalent in society. So, you know, it's something that's transferable to a lot of people. So the very best of luck with it. So, we touched very briefly on how you got into product marketing, you know, almost like stumbling into the area, if you will. What did your very first job look like in the area?
My first job in product marketing, actually, I was asked to define product marketing for a very large company. Our business unit didn't have product marketing, ironically, so I was asked to come in there and kind of establish it, which was interesting because I knew kind of what I wanted to do, but I really didn't have that specific guidance. I didn't have a product marketing leader who came in and set out the vision for me, so I had to kind of discover it. And I did that through a lot of just talking to people. And back then there was no Product Marketing Alliance. There was not a lot of publications out there. If you wanted to read something on product marketing, you'd have to hunt through Pragmatic Marketing somewhere and see if you could find an article among the dozens of product management articles, right? So there wasn't a lot of that knowledge, foundational knowledge available. And I just had to kind of do it a little bit through trial and error and a lot through just talking to more experienced people. So it was an interesting learning experience. I won't claim that I did it perfectly, but because I made a lot of some mistakes, those helped me really shape and sharpen my thinking around product marketing.
So. Yeah, sure. And it's I know it's a massive cliche, but you know, it's almost like the more mistakes you make, the greater like practitioner you become, because you know, otherwise you just don't learn, do you? It's such Absolutely. An essential part of self development. You know, just making those mistakes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So again, as we mentioned, very briefly previously, you know, you are a go-to-market leader, but what would you consider to be like almost like the quintessential ingredients for a great go-to-market, a great go-to-market strategy?
Yeah, there are so many elements to that that it's hard to define that, and I think it will vary whoever you talk to, right? For me, there's certain things that come up over and over again in my mind. One is that customer centricity, being able to think about putting that customer first in your go-to-market strategy. And the second, which is very closely tied, is being strategic about what you're trying to do. It's like, what are you trying to achieve, right? Just revenue is not good enough of an answer. What are you really trying to achieve? And once you put that together in context of what is it that you're trying to help your customer do, putting that together, that's where the strategy starts. So to get it a little more of a practical example, it may be helping them, maybe launching a new product so that they can do certain activities better or faster, right? And the goal might be adoption of certain functionality within a product. So that's one thing that really needs to be articulated well. And I don't think many times we do that very well, actually, in product marketing. When we go through a product launch, we have these kind of preformed checklists, like templates, right? And you know, do this activity, do this activity, do this activity. And everybody goes down that list of activities, does it, and then, okay, we're done. But the reality of it is that half those activities may not need to be done because it varies depending on your strategy and what your goals are that you're trying to achieve. The other thing that comes around with it is once you've completed or done a lot of these activities, coming back and measuring, were you successful? What was the point in the first place? And were you successful in achieving that, right? And if not, what do you need to do to adjust, to fix it and to make it better so that you can actually achieve your goals? So those are the things what I mean strategic. So it's that customer centricity, it's the strategic thinking. And the third element I would add to it is being able to communicate around your what it is you're trying to achieve internally within your stakeholders. So making sure that there's alignment between your sales org, your customer success, or whoever else is involved, right? Product management, because you can come up with the greatest strategy in the world, but if nobody's executing on it, what's the point, right? So
yeah, sure. And that kind of brings me quite nicely onto the next question, like the whole alignment and collaborative approach. I just wanted to ask you about almost in terms of the teams outside of marketing, such as sales, product operations, etc., which departments would you say that you've interacted with most during your product marketing career, and what have your relationships been with, like, with what's your relationships been like with them?
Yeah, I mean, naturally, sales and product management are going to be the most. Of course, the rest of the marketing organization as well, right? Those are the ones that you interact with most frequently. But there are other, you know, other groups, professional services, customer success. If your organization has a strategy department, then you're intricately connected. And not everybody has a strategy group, right? And in some cases, product marketing takes that role ownership. Other places, it's more strictly defined. I think what it comes down to is alignment, because I've been in organizations where, hey, we're all part of the same team and we all have the same goal, but we're not aligned. So marketing's running off doing this thing and sales is running off doing this thing and product management is in this direction going off and doing something else. And, you know, everybody is incentivized differently, right? Some people are incentivized to close the sale right away, no matter what. Other people are incentivized for a long-term strategy, which may mean passing up on an opportunity or a deal, or just less focus on that segment. And that's what I mean when I say sometimes there's no alignment. And as product marketer, it's your responsibility to make sure that everybody's aligned, that sales is executing on the strategy that you develop, that product management has your buy-in as well. So that's, you know, it's a very complex, I think, aspect of product marketing. It's probably the most difficult part and also the one I personally enjoy the most.
Okay. And in terms of improving those relationships in an ideal world, how would you go about making any potential changes between product marketing and internal teams?
Well, I suppose it depends a lot on what the issue is, right? And sometimes it's just a personality thing. In other cases, it's misalignment of incentives, right? If the sales team is incentivized differently than your strategy is, then you've got a problem. In order to address those things, it really comes down from the top, right? You have to be able to influence the executives from each of those groups. As product marketer, you're going to have to be able to influence the head of sales and the head of marketing, the head of product management, to make sure that they're aligned, they have the common goals, and then the rest of the org underneath it falls behind that. And in many cases, you see that doesn't happen, right? They're loosely aligned, but not really, right? So sales is focused on closing business this month or this quarter, as they should be. Whereas product management is much more focused on what happens, you know, 6 months down the line, and they're not really thinking about what happens this quarter. So I think to answer your question, it really comes down as you as product marketer being able to influence those decision makers at the very top to make sure that they're all aligned.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, this might be a question that's kind of just one of those where it's just, again, too big to answer in the space of 2 or 3 minutes, but what steps can a product marketer potentially put into place to almost communicate or convey the importance of product marketing to key stakeholders who may be a little bit unsure of what product marketing brings to the table?
Oh, we do a terrible job at that. And as product marketers, we're just awful at it. I mean, the PMA did a survey a few months ago when you asked, you know, what percentage of the organization understands what product marketing does? And only 5% of product marketers said that their organization understands it. That's embarrassingly low. Imagine a product manager, if you asked them that question, you would have the exact opposite. You would have, you know, then they'd say 95% of the organization understands what product management does. So I think foundationally, we have a lot of work to do in terms of education. And one of the things that we do is we often go up there and we position ourselves as the data sheet people. Here's the data sheet, right? Here's what we need to do. And that's how everybody looks at us, right? The people who write data sheets. And part of it comes back to, well, we go through these checklists of activities for a product launch. And then we interact with certain departments where we say, hey, we need to do this, this, and this. And then they do that with us. And then they never hear back from us again, right? So what have we told them in the back of their minds? They're like, oh, those are the people that come and bother me about a specific activity I need to do at a certain amount of time, point in time. I think in order to change this and to really get people to think, understand who we are, is we need to have a much more strategic, high-level conversation about what it is, the goal, what are the strategies, you know, product marketing needs to learn the language of revenue and the language of finance. We do a terrible job at that as well. So that the executive team gives us a place at the table. We're going to have to earn it. We won't just get it if we continue to be project managers. And that's what a lot of us are or act like. So.
Yeah, so it almost just, a huge part of it boils down to, effective communication, not just communicating for the sake of it. It's a skill that, I've spoke with previous guests and I keep on hearing the same thing, to be a good product marketer, you need to communicate. But what would you say the top three skills are that have helped you to get where like you are today in your career?
Yeah, I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's the communication, right? But there are other things. For me, I always think that product marketers have to have empathy, customer empathy, stakeholder empathy, right? And that's one of those soft, wishy-washy terms that people throw around. But I actually think it's critical, because if you don't have, if you're not able to develop empathy for your customers, you're not able to do a good job and really a truly good job in positioning your products. You're not able to overcome hurdles internally, because it's so easy for executives from other departments to say no. And all you've seen is a barrier, a block of why, you don't know why they said no. But if you start to think about it from much more of an empathetic point of view, is why they said no, and what are they saying? Are they truly saying no, or are they saying there's something else in the way, right? And once you start to think about that and come up with ideas for how to address that, then in fact, I actually wrote an article for the PMA on this one. It's the only way to get a hard no, to turn a hard no into a soft yes or soft maybe, is through empathy. And that means understanding why they said no in the first place. So yeah, absolutely, communication is critical. That ability to have another part, see another person's point of view, is also what helped me get to where I am today.
Okay. And in terms of any crossover between what you do and what a PM does, would you say that there's any crossover there at all?
I think it really depends on the organization. I've been at a number of organizations now doing product marketing, and it's never been identical. It's never been the same, right? There are some places where product management just keeps you at arm's length, and they're like, whatever, right? We're going to do what we're going to do, and when it's time for launch, here you go. We'll let you know, and then you can go put up a new website, right? That's like, they're literally that distant. Other places where they're really working close together. I've been actually one organization where I worked at where when I first arrived, it became apparent to me that there was like a product marketing function and a product management function. They never talked together. My goal was for that product management leader to see me as part of his team, even though I was in marketing. And so I made a point to attend every one of his meetings, to listen, to take notes, to ask follow-up questions, so that I could learn, to show that I'm listening and learning. And then, over time, also start to bring in value about bringing in customer insights and information from, hey, here's what we're hearing from the market. It's probably like a one and a half year effort for them to really start to trust me and stop seeing me as that person on the other side that, we just launch as a product. So the answer, I think, is it depends on the organization and the culture within that organization. So.
Okay. And I mean, you've been in product marketing for for a long time. You've held product marketing roles at numerous companies, but and obviously with the publication of this book, it's clear that you've got a passion for for product marketing. It's your vocation. However, in your opinion, do you think there's any area of product marketing that needs to change to make it even better than it is already?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it needs to continue to evolve. It's changed a lot. It's grown a lot in the last decade, right? Product marketing has really moved forward. The number of product marketers out there, the number of kind of skill sets and specialization of product marketing has really changed, but it needs to continue, especially as you go forward and you think about the massive volume of data that's being generated. And that data leads to new products and new technologies and new capabilities and a new customer pain points. So as a product marketer, you have to be able to evolve along with that and be able to not only just articulate what you do with it, but also continue. I think what we're going to see is continuing specialization of product marketing functions. That, 5 years down the line, we're going to have product marketing, people who are experts in areas that we never thought product marketing would do. And I also feel like the whole idea of experience, today everything's about product led. I think in the future, it's going to be experience led growth and, helping people do what it is that they're doing better, not through the product, but just through the comprehensive experience. You see some of the larger companies, some of the more innovative companies moving that way. It's, for me, it's only natural to see product marketing follow that road.
Okay. And in terms of any new or aspiring product marketers who, you know, maybe making a step into the industry, you know, a year, 2 years, 5 years from now, what would your advice to them be?
Two things. One is shut up and listen, right? That comes back to what we were saying earlier, the ability to have empathy, and you can't have empathy if you're talking. You got to listen, right? 2 ears, one mouth. So just listen to what people are saying. And that's not to say be quiet and let them run over you, right? It's just listen to what they're saying and why they're saying no. Because in product marketing, the word no, you encounter the word no all the time, right? Every other department says no to you because it's your job to do these things. They're going to do whatever they're doing. It's your job to kind of bring everybody together and move them forward in one direction. So it's very easy for any one department to say no. So it's really understanding why they're saying no. And that's, you can't do that if you're constantly talking. The second thing I would say, written and oral communication is just critical. You're not going to be a product marketer if you can't communicate well. That's through writing effectively, writing emails effectively, writing articles and blogs effectively, content, right? Presentations, giving presentations effectively. So that's, I think, critical. So if you really want to develop your skills, I would put a lot of emphasis in business communication courses. That's where you're going to get a lot of value right off the bat.
Yeah, invest in yourself, basically.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Abdul. It's been awesome talking to you. It's been an absolute pleasure meeting you. I've really enjoyed, you know, listening to your insights. I'm sure that, you know, the listeners would have enjoyed it as well. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Lawrence. I'm glad I was able to show up here, and hopefully I was able to give some good advice. Thank you for having me here.
Oh, not a problem at all. Thanks very much, Abdul. Cheers.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Before we leave you to get on with your day, if you want to get involved, here are a few ways you can. If you're a product marketer and you want to come on the show and speak about your day, a specific topic, or your role in general, that's one option. If you want to flex your podcast hosting skills, being a guest host is another. And finally, if you or your company want to sponsor an episode, there's a third. Thanks again, and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.